This is KVNF's regional newscast for Wednesday, July 21st. I'm Kate Redmond. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment completed the state's first of many airborne surveys at major oil and gas sites on the Front Range designed to monitor for methane and other emissions. According to a press release, the aerial survey will focus on Boulder, Weld, and Larimer counties. The state is funding the aerial surveys with money from a settlement between the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and Kerr McGee that was related to the fatal 2017 gas explosion in Firestone. The CDPHE will conduct additional aerial surveys in September and October. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland will be visiting Grand Junction on Friday as the Interior Department considers the future of the Bureau of Land Management's national headquarters, which were moved to the city last year. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports Senators John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett invited Haaland to visit the city to hear the community as Haaland and others in the Interior Department and the BLM evaluate the headquarters status. Many BLM officials declined to move west when the previous administration moved the headquarters, instead opting to retire or take other jobs in the federal government in Washington. And critics of the headquarters move say it weakened the agency. Haaland's trip will include meetings on other Colorado priorities, including drought and wildfire mitigation, maintaining resilient rural economies, and passing the CORE Act, sponsored in part by Senator Bennett. And those are the headlines. Last week, the Environmental Protection Agency included a new family of chemicals in the latest draft of drinking water contaminants. Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports.
They're a group of man-made chemicals that stick around for a very long time, including in the human body. They're called per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, also known as PFAS. A lot of household products contain them, including nonstick pans, rain jackets, and candy wrappers, and some can cause health problems. The EPA is proposing to include PFAS in its list of water contaminants, and that lays the groundwork for potential regulation down the road. Anna Reed is with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
This is really a promising move from the federal level because before, whether or not you had data on these chemicals and whether they were in your drinking water depended on local government or state governments taking the charge to actually require testing.
The EPA is proposing to monitor for some PFAS in our drinking water. Reed says this will give us a better idea of how prevalent they are. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
Domestic violence has been called a pandemic within the pandemic. In times of stress and isolation, abuse increases. And yet, domestic violence is not new to the Roaring Fork Valley. That's why groups like Response exist. The local organization provides 24-hour support for survivors of domestic and sexual abuse who live and work from Aspen to El Jebel. The nonprofit does everything from crisis counseling to helping survivors get housing and legal assistance. They also teach middle and high school classes about sexual consent and how to build healthy relationships. Aspen Public Radio's Eleanor Bennett spoke with Response's executive director, Shannon Mayer. They started by talking about what Mayer has witnessed since the beginning of the pandemic.
What we found in March, when we all suddenly went into lockdown, is our new client numbers and crisis calls to Response dropped dramatically, which was a really scary thing for us because people were experiencing extreme difficulties and not being able to reach out. And that was a trend that was echoed all across the state, same thing across the country and internationally. And probably two causes for that, maybe three causes. One is just the physical ability to call for help. The second would be just that feeling of uncertainty in the world around you. Like, is this really a safe time for me to leave? Even if this relationship is terrible, I don't have a job or there's no freedom of movement. And then the third thing is probably exposure to friends and coworkers that can give you that nudge to leave a relationship.
What are you seeing and what are you focusing on now that we're emerging?
I would say, you know, our numbers of clients continue to increase. And as everyone in this valley knows, housing is one of the biggest crises that we're facing. In 2019, we started Housing for Survivors program at Response, and through that, we're able to provide not just the emergency shelter that we did previously, but now we have transitional housing that people can stay at for up to 3 months if they're leaving their abuser homeless as a result of that. We have 3 units around the valley, and they're always full, and we often have a waiting list. And then the third tier of that program is long-term rental assistance. That is very flexible funding to help people with their rent. And during that time, they're getting financial management training and help, all with this goal of long-term sustainability for themselves and their family.
Some people are surprised that domestic abuse happens even in such a beautiful, affluent place such as Aspen in the Valley. What are some of the unique challenges that you've seen in terms of what our community faces?
Domestic and sexual abuse can happen to anyone. It's not limited to any socioeconomic class, gender, race, relationship status. Yes, most of our clients are women, but about 17% are men. Most of our clients are in heterosexual relationships, but not all. Some of our clients are among the most wealthy people in the Valley, and some are, you know, in the most challenging economic circumstances. So I think that across the board is something that a lot of people misunderstand and think that it's maybe only in relationships where there's economic stressors. So I think a unique challenge that we have in this Valley, as you've pointed out, is that there's this perception that everyone's living these perfect lives here. The problem with that is it makes those people who are not living a perfect life feel even worse about what's happening behind closed doors in the life that they're living. We see that with suicides. We see that with depression. And the same is true with domestic abuse. If what you see outside your window are happy people smiling, holding hands, and walking into the mountains, you imagine that's what everyone's experiencing. But the statistics nationally are that, you know, 1 in 4 women are going to experience domestic violence in their lifetime. That's not going to be any different here than it is in New York City or Chicago.
I'd imagine that anyone experiencing domestic violence has to be very resilient to make it through that experience or just to live with that experience. What have they taught you?
2 years ago, we started doing this event in October during Domestic Violence Awareness Month called Survivor Stories. And we would bring survivors who at that point in their survivorship where they were ready to share their story with the public. And I think that was such an impactful event because the resounding message was, "And I have survived."
That was Executive Director at Response, Shannon Mayer. If you or someone you know is experiencing abuse in their relationship or feeling unsafe, you can reach the Response helpline at 970-925-SAFE. You can also contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That does it for Wednesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Kate Redmond, in for Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.